5, John was caught up into heaven. And he saw a throne there. And he saw before the throne multitudes of individuals as it was a sea of glass. And there was judgments and there was lightnings and there was thunderings. And Revelation 4 and Revelation chapter number 5 deals with the what's called the judgment seat of Christ. This is where Christians are going to be rewarded and judged according to how they serve the Lord. And then Revelation chapter number 6, verse number 1 through Revelation chapter number 19, verse number 10, deals with what we would call the tribulation period. This is Daniel's 70th week, Daniel 9:27. This is a time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah chapter number 30, verse number 7. It is a time of great trouble, Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 1. It is a time of great tribulation, Matthew chapter 24, verse number 21. It is a time where there is going to be more judgment than what a person could even imagine here on the face of the earth. Then after Revelation chapter number 19, verse 10, verse number 11 through the end of chapter 19 deals with the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is His revealing. This is where every eye shall see Him, and the nations of the earth shall wail because of Him. And they that pierced Him, Revelation chapter number 1, are going to mourn and they're going to say, who is this person? Where did you get those wounds in thy hands and in thy feet? And He's going to reveal to them that He was the Messiah that they crucified over 2,000 years ago, according to Zechariah chapter number 13. Remember, Jesus Christ is stepping out in the clouds, First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 16 and 17. He's coming, first of all, at the rapture, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52. We are going to meet Him in the air, according to those passages of Scripture. You remember, two's going to be at the mill, one's going to be taken, the other one's left. Two's going to be in a bed, one's going to be taken, the other one left. You say, well, that's not talking about the rapture. Please explain to me what it's talking about. It is talking about the rapture. But it's different than the return of Jesus Christ. The return of the rapture takes place. Jesus doesn't come back to the earth. We meet Him in the air. The revelation, Jesus Christ comes back to the earth to establish His 1,000-year reign. Now, after the revelation of Jesus Christ, where He comes back to the earth, we find the millennial reign takes place. You'll find a lot in the book of Isaiah about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. At that point in time, He's going to take their spears and all of their weapons and turn them into farming equipment. He's going to the spears will be turned into plowshares and so on and so forth. During that time, longevity is going to be taking place. It'll be like the Garden of Eden all over again. The Bible talks about in the book of Isaiah how that a child will die and it'll be 100 years old. Now we think of 100 years old, that's an old man. That's an elderly lady. But the Bible says a child is going to die. And I believe that according to the Scripture, longevity is going to take place. Things that we experience here now on the earth is not going to take place. The lion and the lamb are going to lie down together. The wild animals are going to be tame, and a child is going to be able to put its hand on what's called a cockatrice den, and it will not be hurt by those wild animals. Things are going to be different. Amen. Thank the Lord. That's going to be Revelation chapter number 20, the millennial reign of Christ. And at the end of Revelation chapter number 20, we find that Satan is loosed for a short season. He gathers his armies from the four quarters of the earth. There is a so-called battle called the Battle of Gog and Magog that take place where Satan will go out and gather his elect from the four corners of the earth, and they will try to defy God one last time. Not much of a battle. God gathers them all up and throws them directly into hell. And that gives us the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 11 through verse number 15. And after Revelation 20, verse number 11 through verse number 15, the great white throne judgment, we find Revelation 21 and 22, and that is the eternal state. And which that is not showing, that over there is eternity future. And so all of these things are going to unfold. And this is kind of a little running synopsis of what the book of Revelation entails. But tonight I want to go back and I want to look at the 21 judgments. And I'm not going to take a lot of time on these judgments, but we're going to start in chapter number 6. In chapter number 6. And I want you really to think about what is going on. Now, each one of these, there's three sets of judgments. There is the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and also the bowl, or what's called the vial judgments. And each of these three, it seems like they might repeat themselves, and somewhat they do. But what's going to happen, each time these judgments take place, they're going to get more severe as it goes along. Now, the following of these judgments, we need to understand, it's only content only. It's not really sequence or time, and as far as occurrence, they're not equally set as far as the time period. So let's look at some of these. First of all, the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the bowl judgments. You can see those things in the chart behind me. And let's look at this. Can you imagine the beautiful world in which God has given us, and the earth hanging in space? It just seems like nothing is ever going to end up happening to it. But really, when we see these things, this world is soon to approach a 7-year tribulation period that has never been even considered in time past, the trouble that this world is going to go through. And I want you to take time and make sure that you read your Bible about this. And you'll find this in Revelation chapter number 6 through Revelation chapter number 19. Now, think about this. There's going to be massive earthquakes. Just the other day, we talked about how the earthquakes are going to be increasing, and we showed that in the past 10 years, actually earthquakes, according to the National Geological Center, has increased sixfold with earthquakes over 7.0. There was an earthquake of 7.0. Some people say it was 6.6 over in Beijing, China, in the Sichuan province, and 134, the last I heard, was killed. Massive earthquakes during this period of time. The sun is going to be turned to darkness. The Bible says the moon will become as blood. The stars of heaven are going to fall to the earth. And there's going to be a great shaking that's going to take place in this world. Every mountain and every island is going to flee out of its place. These things are going to end up happening. By the way, remember about a year or so ago when the earthquake hit Japan and the nuclear reactor was hit? They said that the island of Japan, actually its shoreline and the elevation, moved 6 feet. Think about that. No wonder there was tsunamis and all kinds of stuff taking place. Could you imagine if that took place on a global scale, where all the islands and all the mountains were moved out of their place? I would encourage you to go to Google Earth sometime, and I would encourage you to take a satellite view of the topography of the United States and look at the East Coast. It looks like someone took their hand and slid all the dirt up into one place, and you can see how that all the mountains of the Appalachians were formed. All you have to do is look at it from the satellite. You can see how the mountain ranges around the world were formed. But I'm telling you, as they were moved into place, God's going to move them out of their place. And so all of these things are going to happen. We look at the beautiful Swiss Alps that are there. We look at the Himalayas. You know, you talked about over in Nepal, the highest mountain just outside of Kathmandu, Mount Everest, over 29,000 feet. The Bible says one day that mountain is going to be brought down. And every mountain is going to be brought down. And every island is going to sink. You think you're going to fight your way through and make your way through? It's not going to happen. Imagine these beautiful mountains just crumbling. God's Word tells us there is going to be a time of tribulation such as there's never been on the face of the earth before. In the last part of Revelation chapter number 6 and verse number 17, it says, "And who shall be able to stand?" I'll tell you who's going to be able to stand. Those that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and are living for God, they're going to be able to stand, but they're going to stand in a different place. They're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ when the tribulation period is going on. So let's look at Revelation chapter number 6 tonight. And I want you to notice some things about, first of all, the seal judgments. the seal judgments. As I said, there's three sets of judgments: the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the bowl judgments. What's going to happen during this period of time? Well, we find, first of all, if my clicker will work, there we go. In Revelation chapter number 6 and verse number 1, notice it says in verse number 2, and let me just get to verse number 4 here in just a minute. Verse number 2, when he opened up the first seal, he heard one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see," and behold, there was a white horse. This white horse, I want you to notice something about the white horse. It says he sat upon a white horse, and that he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Many people think that this white horse is about Jesus Christ. It is not about Jesus Christ. It is about the Antichrist. Notice that he had a bow, but he had no arrows. Notice that a crown was given unto him. Jesus Christ, when he comes back in Revelation chapter number 19, he had on his head many crowns. No one here on earth has to give him a crown, because he is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. Amen? And so we find in Revelation chapter 6, verse number 2, there is the Antichrist. And the next seal that was opened after the Antichrist went forth conquering and to conquer, we find that world peace was taken. And in verse number 4, it says, "And there went out another horse that was red." This was the horse of war. "And power was given unto him that sat on it to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword." Now, I don't know what that great sword is. Many people have speculated that it's a nuclear weapon, but we don't really know for sure. But we do know this: there is going to be a great sword that's going to be given to the Antichrist, and the Antichrist is going to end up using that to control people. So we find the first seal was that of the Antichrist. The second one was that of war. And then the third one, look at verse number 5 and 6, famine is going to take place. It says, "A measure of wheat for a penny and a measure of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And a penny was a day's wages. In other words, the idea of this is going to be this: you're going to work all day long for one meal. You say, "Well, we're just about there now." Well, not quite. I realize our money doesn't go as far as what it used to. And the dollar bill isn't worth a whole lot of money anymore. I remember when you used to be able to go to the store and buy something for a nickel. Today, or the other day, I went to wash my truck off, and I found quarters, dimes, and nickels in front of the car wash out there, just on the ground. People just threw them away. You know what I did? I picked them up. You say, "You're cheap." Well, I might be, but I pick them up anyway. Amen? And I got a bank at home, and I just pop them in that bank. Listen, there's going to be the Antichrist, the first judgment, the world war, the second seal, the third seal, world famine, the fourth seal. Look at verse number 7 and 8. We find that a fourth of the world's population. Now, right now, we've got about 7.3 billion people on the face of the earth. But the Bible tells us in verse number 8, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed him, and it was given, and power was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth." At that point in time, one fourth of the world's population is going to die. You say, "Preacher, that doesn't sound like a rosy picture." Should have been here this morning. It was a real happy time, all right? And tonight is going to be a little bit more gloom and doom. But here, we need to understand this. During the tribulation period, God's wrath is poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world. He is going to punish this wicked world for all of their sinfulness and all of their wickedness and them choosing the things of this world over God. One-fourth of the world's population is going to die. Christians are going to be slain the next judgment. Verse number 9 through verse number 11. They cry out and they say, "How long, O Lord, dost thou not judge, avenge our blood?" White robes were given to them in verse number 11. And we saw those that were slain, verse number 9, for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So we find that Christians, there's going to be martyrs. And then we find earthquakes. The next judgment. Earthquakes. The sun is going to be turned to darkness. By the way, this happens several times throughout the book of Revelation. I remember when Mount St. Helens blew up. May 18th, 1980. I remember the date because May 18th is my wife's birthday. And so I always remember when Mount St. Helens blew up. But 1980, I remember that summer. How many of you remember that? Here in Ohio, we actually had ash falling. The temperature of the globe actually dropped about a degree and a half because of Mount St. Helens blowing up. There was an ash in the air over Washington and over Montana. Out west, the sky turned dark. I remember seeing pictures in Spokane, Washington, where they had 6 to 8 inches of ash. This is several hundred miles away, falling just like snow upon the streets. Everything was turned to darkness. Could you imagine if every volcano blew its lid throughout the world at the same time and what would end up happening? We find here that 1/4 of the world's population is going to die from war and pestilence and famine from the beasts of the earth. There's going to be martyrdom of the believers according to Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 4, which talks about how that they were beheaded. Revelation chapter number 6, verse 12 through verse number 17, the Bible talks about there's going to be a great earthquake. The sun's going to be darkened, the mountains are going to fall, the islands are going to move. That's just the beginning, folks. That's just the beginning. Every mountain and every island will be moved. And you know what? That is, like I said about Japan, that's already ended up happening. There'll be universal panic, terror all over. I imagine most of you probably saw some of the scenes from Boston. People were in panic mode. You say, how could that really happen? You know, I think God is preparing America for a military takeover. I really believe it. You know, according to our Constitution, our U.S. military are not to be deployed upon its own citizens. And yet during this chaos that was going in Boston, they had guys there, army guys, with machine guns. They rolled tanks out to find these guys. Say, yeah, let's go get those terrorists. Our government, according to the Constitution, are not supposed to go ahead and have our government fire upon our citizens. That's for the state, and it's not for our federal government to do. Anyway, that's a whole other issue. But I'm just here to tell you that what's going to happen during the tribulation period, there's going to be mass panic, there's going to be mass terror, it's going to be universal around the world. And the very last judgment that's going to end up taking place, there's going to be silence in heaven for a space of about a half an hour as the trumpet judgments are getting to be revealed. A lot of people say, well, what was that half hour of silence all about? You know, we can all speculate. Nobody really knows for sure. My thought is this. I think the people in heaven were revealed exactly what was about ready to take place on earth, and all of them were awestruck, and nobody could say a word. And there was silence in heaven for the space of about a half an hour. And then the judgments started coming again. Seven trumpet judgments. Hail and fire mingled with blood will fall. The Bible says there's going to be death in the seas. And the fish and all the wildlife in the seas are going to die. The Bible talks about these trumpet judgments as follows. Hail and fire mingled with blood. Revelation chapter number 8, verse number 7. In Revelation 8, verse number 9, 8 and 9, there's going to be a burning mountain that's going to be fall into the sea. Look at that if you would please. Revelation 8. It says, and the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. Could you imagine all the fish of the Pacific Ocean dying? Could you imagine that? And about one third of the water mass in the world is in the Pacific Ocean. Think about that. You take up all the other oceans together, and it's about one third. Could you imagine all the whales and all the cod and all the halibut and all the other creatures that are there, and all of those things all of a sudden dying and floating up to the top? Could you imagine the stench? Could you imagine the disease that takes place? One third becomes blood. A third of the sea dies. A third of the ships will be destroyed. There's going to be a great burning star that's going to fall on the rivers. Look at verse number 8, or verse number 10. It says, and a third of the angel, and a third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. That's an interesting name. Over in Russia, a number of years ago, there was a nuclear power plant that melted down. And that nuclear power plant was called Chernobyl. Most of us probably remember the nuclear accident that took place over there, and that's been years and years ago. Now, I was told, and I am not Russian, but I was told that the name Wormwood in Russian means Chernobyl, or vice versa. Interesting. What is it that's going to fall into the third part and make everything bitter? It's going to be a great star. It's going to fall into the rivers, and it's going to fall into the fresh water sources, and many are going to die because of the bitter waters. A third of the sun, the moon, and the stars are going to be smitten. Can you imagine how that's going to end up affecting the agriculture? Brother Ed, that's probably going to mess up with your garden. I'm going to tell you that right now. But you know what? We ought not be investing in our gardens here in this world. We ought to be investing in our garden in heaven. Amen? We find in Revelation chapter number 9, verse number 1 through verse number 11, I'll not take time to read all of this, but for a period of 5 months, there's going to be demonic creatures that are going to be come out of the abyss, and they're going to torment people for 5 months who have received the mark. We find that in Revelation 9, verse 13 through 18, there's going to be a 200 million man army that's going to be gathered, probably those from the kings of the east that are going to march towards Jerusalem, and another third of the world's population is going to die because of war. So far, we've had at least one-fourth of the world population, plus another third of the world's population have died because of what's going on in the tribulation period. This is all yet future that is going to come to pass. You say, preacher, I don't like the future. You will if you're saved. Amen? You will if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You remember, you will not be here for this. But if you have a loved one that's lost, they will be. And they will have to face this. And you as a child of God need to do everything you can to warn them and plead for them and pray for them, because the time is coming when all of our time is going to run out here on earth. Revelation 11, verse 13 and verse number 19, there's going to be more great earthquakes and great hail that's going to take place. And you'll notice that these bold judgments, the next judgments, the final judgments, are going to be even more horrific. Some people have described these judgments, the first three are less severe but longer. The middle judgments are going to be more severe with less time. And the very last judgments are going to be very severe and a shorter period of time. And I want you to notice these bold judgments or the vile judgments that are poured out. grievous sores on those that have received the mark of the beast. Now there in that photo, there's a man there that has a UPC symbol on his hand. You say, is that what it's going to be? I have no idea. That's an artist's conception or their idea of what it may be. It's interesting to note, though, that today anybody can get ID chipped if you want to pay the money. Not only is it for animals, the royal family in England have all been ID chipped. There's a whole community down in Florida that went through an experimental ID chipping, and they did away with all currency, and all they had to do is slide their hand over top of the counter and it would read the ID chip and the money would automatically be withdrawn from their bank. You know, really, as far as technology goes, it's not a bad idea. Think about it. There'd be no more money laundering. Drug dealers couldn't end up selling drugs. Everything would be controlled and everybody would be accountable. And in some ways it would be great. The only problem is, this is of the devil, amen? And we are not to be a part of that. And I really believe that not only could it be a computer chip, but I believe that it also could be some form of a tattoo, a mark of identification. People are going to gladly say, I am identifying with the New World Order. And here is my symbol, either on their forehead or on their right hand. You say, oh, preacher, I'd never get something like that. You know, there are people all over today that are being marked up and tattooed. And the Bible specifically says, thou shalt not put any marks upon thy flesh. And yet we're living in a day and an age when the tattoo industry is running wild. And the child of God, listen, if you've got one of those tramp stamps on you, ask God to go ahead and forgive you for it, and then go on. Amen? If you've got one of those tattoos on your arms or other places on your body, ask God to forgive you and go on. But listen, the child of God should never get those things. And what it's doing is desensitizing the child of God today, and it's desensitizing to the world to go ahead and receive the mark in the future. After all, what's one more tattoo? Say, preacher, I don't like your preaching. I don't like your listening, all right? So we're even, okay? I want you to notice there's going to be grievous sores that are going to mark on those that have the mark of the Antichrist on them. And then all the sea becomes blood and all die. Can you imagine everything dying? Man, oh man. The stench and the disease and all of those pollution and everything is going to take place. All the fresh water will become blood, and the only thing that people are going to have to drink is going to be blood. You say, that can't happen, preacher. Really tell the Egyptians that. It happened there. Those who reject Christ's blood to pay for their sins will only have their blood to drink. That's it. The sun is going to scorch men with heat. 7 times hotter. I thought about that and I thought, boy, I hope it's winter time when the heat gets turned up. I don't know. The sun will be affected and cause men to be scorched with fire and great heat. Sometimes scientists have related it to nuclear fusion and maybe what took place during World War II with the atomic bomb. Is it possible? Zechariah chapter number 14, verse 12 says, their flesh shall consume away while they stand on their feet. Wow. Is that talking about possible nuclear weapons? Could be. It's exactly what happened in World War II in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. When the bombs were dropped, people were actually melted. We find that in the Valley of Megiddo, north of Jerusalem, there's a landmass that is there, a valley. Napoleon said it was the greatest battlefield in the world. It is believed here that the Battle of Armageddon will take place. Revelation chapter number 14, verse number 20 says that the blood will run up to 4 feet deep for a period of 176 miles through the area of Israel and into Syria towards the east. Can you imagine? as 200 million soldiers gathered together to fight against Israel and to destroy Israel. Russian armies and all the armies around the world will come and converge upon Israel. And as they're ready to destroy Israel, all of a sudden they look up in the sky and there is something that is happening in the atmosphere. It is the Lord Jesus Christ coming with clouds and power and great glory. And they turn their focus to fight against Israel, to fight against God, and God consumes them. And that's how the tribulation period ends. The bold judgments. Look at these things. They're all listed in Revelation chapter number 16. Grievous sores plague the unsaved. All the sea becomes blood. Everything in the sea dies. All the flesh, or all fresh water is turned into blood. Revelation 16. Revelation 16, 8 and 9. Men are scorched with fire and great heat. Revelation 16, verse 10 and 11. Men gnaw their tongues. They will not repent. The Euphrates River is dried up for the kings of the earth, or the kings of the east, to prepare themselves for battle. By the way, the Euphrates River goes through Iraq, Iran, up towards Turkey, and then comes back down towards Israel. A perfect highway for the kings of the east to come down. This is very probable in Revelation 9, verse 16, where the 200 million men army will end up coming from. The greatest earthquake since people have been upon the face of the earth. You realize back in the early 1800s, the New Madrid Fault just outside of Memphis, Tennessee, there was an earthquake that took place, they say back around, I think it was 1814, 1815, somewhere in there, that it was so powerful that for about a 200-mile radius, all the trees were flattened. The Mississippi River actually changed its course, and actually the river flowed backwards for a period of time because of this earthquake. They say that the earthquake there in the New Madrid Fault, just outside of Memphis, Tennessee, it was probably around an 8.0. There has been earthquakes that's been registered up in Alaska at over 8.0. Now, I don't know if you understand about earthquakes, but if you understand how they ended up developing the scale, a 5.0 is 100 times greater than a 4.0. We've actually had some 4.0s here in Ohio not long ago. There was some up by Cleveland. There was actually one down by Lima, Ohio. It actually cracked a schoolhouse right down the center back in the 1950s. It was 4.8 on the Richter scale. But then from 4.0 to 5.0, 5.0 is 100 times greater. 6.0 is 100 times greater than a 5.0. 7.0 is 100 times greater than a 6.0. And 8.0 is 100 times greater than a 7.0. So you can see how the scale actually goes up. There is going to be such a great earthquake that's going to take place. Look at Revelation chapter number 16. Look at verse number 18. Revelation chapter 16. Now this is all future. Revelation 16, verse number 18. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. Verse number 19, the Bible says that Jerusalem was divided into three parts, split. And the other cities of the nations, they fell. Look what it says in verse number 20. It says, and every island fled away. You know what an island is? It's nothing more than a mountain in the middle of a body of water. That's all it is. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. You know what's going to happen to Mount Everest? It's not going to be found. You know what's going to happen to Pike's Peak? It's not going to be found. You know what's going to happen to Mount McKinley up in Alaska? It's not going to be found. all of the Rocky Mountains, all of the Andes Mountains, all the Himalayas, all the Appalachians, all the mountains around the world, they are not going to be found. Now, here's something to think about. Before the flood, most people, from reading the Scripture and understanding the Scripture, they come to the conclusion there was no mountains before the flood. The Bible describes high hills. But when the fountains of the earth were broken up during the flood of Noah, and all of a sudden those things were pushed up, mountains were formed. And then in Genesis chapter number 10 and verse number 26, it says, in the days of Peleg was the earth divided. In other words, the earth and the plates shifted apart. And when the plates shifted apart, massive mountains were pushed up all over the world. You know what happened? Great earthquakes that took place during that time to do that. There is going to be an earthquake so great at the end of the tribulation period that every mountain that was pushed up by these earthquakes and the plates moving are going to be brought back down in every island. That means Hawaii, and that means New Zealand, and that means Kelly's Island out here in Lake Erie. Every island is going to sink. They're not going to be there anymore. Don't invest in island property. Invest in heaven. Every island is going to, every island and mountain is going to disappear. The Bible says, look at it, it says, and there fell upon men, this is verse 21, a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, and for the plague thereof was exceeding great. So we find here about the size of a talent. I remember a number of years ago, when I was just a kid, I went out to Kansas City, actually Liberty, Missouri. My aunt lived out there. And if you know anything about the Kansas City area, it is Tornado Alley down through there. And severe thunderstorms and severe tornadoes. They had in their freezer a hailstone that fell in their yard, and they went out and got it and put it, wrapped it in aluminum foil and put it in their freezer to save for the insurance man. Their roof was wiped out. Their vehicle was totaled. Everybody's homes were destroyed because of ice falling out of the sky. They had wrapped up in their freezer over the size of a softball. And she said, I've got the hailstone in my yard. I want you to see it. He says, I don't need to see it. He says, I've already had someone show me the one the size of a football. It went through a person's car window and it ended up on the back seat. I don't know how much broke off when it hit the window. But could you imagine that? I was watching the Weather Channel the other day, and it showed a hail storm out in Oklahoma or Texas, and there were about baseball-sized hailstones coming down, and it was just peppering everything that was out there and destroying everything. Could you imagine all of a sudden a hailstone that weighed 100 pounds? There's a block of ice about 100 pounds. According to the internet, they said that the largest stone that they found was about 2 pounds. But yet, the Bible says it's going to weigh about a talent. A talent is about 100 pounds. Some say 120 pounds. It's no wonder that Jesus ended up warning individuals that these judgments would be the worst judgments that ever fell upon mankind here on earth, or ever will fall. Let's look at the events at the end of the tribulation, and I'm going to close. What's going to happen? Look at Revelation chapter number 19, verse number 11. Verse number 11 through verse number 16, the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. This is what's going to stop the tribulation period. Because if Jesus Christ would not show up on the scene, the world would explode, everybody would end up perishing. But Jesus Christ stops it. He puts a stop to the tribulation period. It says in verse number 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called, notice this, And notice in your King James Bible, these words are capitalized. Amen. He's called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were how many crowns? Many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called, everybody, the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven followed upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's us, folks. That's us. And Jesus Christ is riding out of heaven upon His white steed, and the armies that are in heaven are following Him. And Jesus Christ is coming back to the earth to establish His millennial reign, and we're going to reign with Him. Amen! That's exciting! Isn't it? It ought to be if you're saved. Look at verse chapter 20. Look at verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ, and for the Word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's the millennium. But we find here that Jesus Christ is coming back to the earth to establish His millennial reign. And it says in verse 15, out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He should rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth out the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And we find in verse number 11 through 21, the conclusion of the Battle of Armageddon. And Jesus Christ takes all of those who've received the mark and are still alive, and those that have followed the Antichrist. He takes the beast and the false prophet, He throws them into a place called hell and chains them there. He takes those that are following the Antichrist and those that have received the mark, and He's cast them into the lake of fire. Look what it says in verse number 16, talking about Christ, and He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse number 20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake burning, or a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant that were slain with the sword of him that sat on the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and the fowls were filled with their flesh. Doesn't sound like a very rosy ending, does it? But we need to understand this. Again, God's going to demonstrate His grace to mankind in the fact that He is going to end up stopping the tribulation period. The Antichrist will be cast into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And then we find the millennial reign starts. The remnant will be slain. The unsaved that followed Antichrist and survived the tribulation period, they will be thrown into a place called hell. I know a lot of people say, well, you know, there's no such thing as hell. If you read the Bible, hell is mentioned over and over and over and over. And I realize that sometimes the word hell describes many different things. But the bottom line is, the Bible says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. And Lazarus was thrown into a place called hell, and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments, and he was tormented in the flame. Hell is a real place. And so we find that there is going to be the destruction of the Antichrist and the destruction of the people that followed him. Now, here's the thing. How do you avoid the tribulation period? Is there anybody here that would like to go through it? Hey, preacher, I would like to go through that. That sounds like a great time. Party time, you know. You're an idiot. I don't know how else to describe it. where possibly between two-thirds and three-fourths of the world's population is going to be destroyed through natural disasters, through famines, through earthquakes, through wars, through all of these things. I don't think anybody in their right mind would want to go through something like that. You say, how do you avoid it? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Harden not your hearts, the Bible says, as it was in the day of provocation. In other words, while you have opportunity to be saved today, you ought to be saved today. Because we're not guaranteed of tomorrow. Jesus may come at the rapture today. So don't be late. Because if you're late, you'll have to live through this time of Jacob's trouble. Time of great tribulation period. And the question, as it says in Revelation 6 and verse 17, and who shall be able to stand? The bottom line is, no one's going to be able to stand. No one's going to be able to. And the only way we're going to escape is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Has the blood of Jesus Christ been applied to your life? Have you been born again by the power of God? Have you been saved? You need to be. Because without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there is no hope. With all the judgments, all the delusions, all the death, do you really want to risk your eternal destiny on thinking that you'll be able to overcome? Will you really want to risk all of those things hoping that you're saved? Well, I think I'm saved. You better know that you're saved. Amen? Why? Daniel's 70th week is coming. It is a time of judgment upon the earth. To escape, we must trust Christ as our Savior. That is the only thing that will keep us from the tribulation period. I hope and pray that this will stir you. I hope it will motivate you to be a witness. I hope it will motivate you to live for God. Live for Him. Time's running out. Amen? Let's bow our heads, please. With every head bowed, with every eye closed. Today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ought to get saved. Time is running out. And if you are saved, you ought to ask God to give you the strength and the wisdom, and the courage to live for Him. You ought to ask Him to help you to be a witness to your lost friends and family. You ought to call out their name day and night before God and say, oh God, have mercy on their soul and save them in Jesus' name. Because their time is running out. In just a moment, we're going to sing a verse of invitation. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we're going to invite you to come and trust Him tonight. And Christian, if you've got a burden, if you've got a heartache, if you've got a loved one that you're concerned about their eternity, why don't you find your place at the altar tonight and call out their name before God and say, Lord, I pray that You'd help them and save them in Jesus' name. Father in heaven, Lord, I do ask and pray that You just help us. Help us, Lord, to see the seriousness of this hour. Help us, Lord, to be a witness for You. Help us, Lord, to realize that this time is not a time of fantasy, but, Lord, it's a time of certainty that is going to come upon this old world and catch us all unaware. I pray, Lord, now that You just bless this invitation. Lord, we give it to You. Save those that are lost. And, Lord, challenge the saved to live for Thee. And we ask it in Jesus' name.